to praise you, Lord, much more than I do. I want to praise you, Lord, much more than I do. And learn to seek your face and the knowledge of your grace. I want to praise you. I want to praise you, Lord, much more than I do. I want to praise you, Lord, much more than I do. And learn to seek your face and the knowledge of your grace. I want to praise you. Birds in the sky sing their songs to you. Trees in the fields lift their arms to you. I want to sing. To love you, Lord, much more than I do. I want to love you, Lord, much more than I do. And learn to seek your face and the knowledge of your grace. I want to love you. I want to love you, Lord, much more than I do. I want to I want to love you. Birds in the sky sing their songs to you. Trees in the fields lift their arms to you. I want to sing. I want to lift my arms to you. Birds in the sky songs to you, trees in the fields lift their arms to you. I want to sing, I want to lift my arms to you. I want to serve you, Lord, much more than I do. I want to serve you, Lord, much more than I do. And learn to seek your I want to serve you. I want to serve you, Lord, much more than I do. I want to serve you, Lord, much more than I do. And learn to seek your face and the knowledge of your grace. I want to serve you. Birds in the sky songs to you, trees in the fields lift their arms. us not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and the peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessing all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. As always, it is good to be with you whenever and wherever and however you are listening on what is now this first weekend of June 2020. It is an understatement to say we are living a difficult time. COVID-19, as we are all aware, remains a very real challenge, greatly impacting our lives, both personally as well as in a greater collective sense. And then, as you've heard, no doubt, the recent death of George Floyd is heartbreaking. And with that, raises, or at least should raise, some very serious questions about power and use of power, questions about our value or lack of value of the other, the worth of a human life, and all the ways we value or devalue, we esteem or denigrate, and not just the known ones, but all who remain nameless, faceless. We can think of all the injustice and the inequality and the exploitation and discrimination, all of the isms, be it race, gender, age, you fill in the blank. It is an understatement to say we are living a difficult time. As one person wrote, capturing some of the sentiment, he writes, "How long must I call for help before I am heard? Why must I see the injustice, the wrongdoing, destruction and violence day after day, and conflict abounds, law and order fall to pieces? Justice is a joke." Now, it is worth noting those words, I think very appropriate for our day, were written nearly 3,000 years ago by the prophet Habakkuk. But not only do we get these words from Habakkuk, the prophet Micah knew this reality very well. Living in a time of great transition, a time when the world was rapidly changing, what was a time of political and economic instability, and with it all kinds of exploitation of the vulnerable, all sorts of inequality of wealth and power and influence. What could be just as descriptive for our day as that day? And so Micah, he prophesies of the day that is coming, days of grief and loss and hardship and distress, but that out of the darkness, out of the shadows of despair and disappointment, he says, there is another way. Micah offers us the hope of Messiah, one who will rise up to lead them and us out of the despair and into this experience of peace, out of the shadows and into an experience of hope. He says, there is another way. And with that, a way we see demonstrated all throughout the life of Jesus, pushing back against the brutality, the destruction, the violence, all of the injustice and inequality, the exploitation, the discrimination, inviting us to live this other way, a way that we find in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 10. In fact, what is fascinating is that leading up to this particular passage, beginning with verse 46, 10 and 46, and we will get there in a moment, but leading up to this passage at 10 and 46, it is all about Jesus, what he's up to, where Jesus is literally on the way. At chapter 8, verse 27, Jesus, along with his disciples, they are near Caesarea Philippi, and we read they are, it says, on the way. At 9 and 33, Jesus again with his disciples, and he asks them what they were arguing about, and there we read, but they kept quiet because they had argued, it says, literally, on the way. 10 and 17, Jesus started on his way. 10 and 32, they, meaning the disciples and some others, were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And then in today's text, on the way, appears two more times. That word way in Greek, it is hodos, and it is translated as way or path or road, this idea of traveling over a distance. It can also carry the idea, again, of a way or path, but is in a way of life, a particular manner or approach or posture. And so, yes, Jesus here is traveling a distance, heading from up north in Galilee down south toward Jerusalem, and he is engaging, living a particular way of life, a way of doing life with others, right? This manner, this posture, this attitude. And along the way then, Jesus, he is leading, pouring into his disciples. Here is what doing life on the way looks like. And with that, we pick up this way of doing life, this manner of life, and from verse 46 we read, "Then they came to Jericho. Noting that Jesus has been up north, he has been all over Galilee, and now he is on the way, heading toward Jerusalem. Keeping in mind, Passover is drawing near, and so yes, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, but he's not the only one. In fact, Jews from all over, some estimate the number at hundreds of thousands, some would even put it up to 2 million. Who would be making this pilgrimage to Jerusalem for this religious feast? So they have come to Jericho. We read, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, again meaning also all those on this pilgrimage, making this trip for the annual gathering, and as all of them, it says, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. So here is Jesus, his disciples, this great number, right, this crowd of people heading from Jericho to travel the last 15 miles, the nearly 4,000-foot climb to Jerusalem. They're leaving the city, and sitting by the roadside begging is a blind man. Bar is Aramaic for son, hence the name Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. And the text says he was sitting by the roadside, which is important. It carries kind of this double meaning that, yes, he is sitting by the road, quite literally, but also it carries the idea instead of, as in a marker or an indicator of contrast. He is sitting by, meaning he is not one of the group, not one of the crowd, not one of them, meaning he is other than. And we can think of the other, someone who is different. Really, anyone who is different, other than, and we can again think race, gender, all the ways that we classify and categorize and dehumanize. He is sitting by, meaning whoever the other is, and if we're honest, we all have someone or someones who is or who are the other. He is sitting by, meaning he is an outcast, he is in the margins, he is the vulnerable, he is the minority, he is the destitute, the unemployed, the poor, the alone, the discriminated against. He is sitting by. Verse 47, when he, meaning that one, that other, heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, it says he began to shout. That is krazo in Greek, and it is often translated to cry out or to call out, meaning he is shouting, crying out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Mercy comes from the Greek word eleo, meaning to bring compassion or relief for the afflicted. It means to help, bring help, offer help, provide help to the suffering, meaning mercy is an action. Eleo, it's a showing of favor to one thought unworthy. He began to cry out, to which it says, many rebuke him. Epitimao. Many rebuke him. Epitimao. It can be translated to scold or to express strong disapproval. In effect, the crowd is critical, telling him to knock it off, to shut up. But notice he pays no attention. Right? He is the other who is desperate. He has been pushed to the margins for far too long, shoved aside. So he shouts all the more, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Right? Show me compassion and care. See me, notice me, value me. Bartimaeus, he could have listened to the strong disapproval. He could have listened to the voices saying you are a nobody. He could have listened to those who say you don't deserve it. He could have listened to those who devalue and discriminate. And yet here is Bartimaeus, right, ignoring the voices in the crowd. Enough is enough. There is another way. And it says he began to cry out. Verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, call him. That word stopped, it is a more literal translation would be, and Jesus stood still. And I think, how beautiful is that? In the midst of the crowd, rebuking, dismissing, degrading, discriminating the other, right? The one who is different, other than. Along the way, on the way, he hears a voice cry out, and it says, Jesus stood still. Jesus, he hears the cry of the heart. And Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still and said, call him. That can be interpreted, notice him, acknowledge him, recognize him, welcome him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he is calling you. And I love that. One moment they are rebuking him, sit down and shut up, and the next moment, get up and cheer up. Noting that cheer up comes from tharseo, and it means to have courage or be courageous, to have confidence. Right? He is calling you, cheer up, be courageous, have confidence. And so verse 50, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Jesus, 51, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. Which, and here's a side note, but not really. This is the exact same question Jesus asks in the previous passage of James and John, right? Two of his disciples. Noting that James and John, you can go back and read it, but noting that James and John, they wanted to be basically sitting at the left and the right hand of Jesus in his glory. In effect, they want, we could say they want status. They want power and position. They want prestige, right? They want to be great in the sense to be set above the other. But notice here, the blind man, effectively the other, he says, Rabbi, he doesn't ask for status, power, or position, or prestige. He simply says, Rabbi, I want to see. And we don't want to miss this. The blind man, right, the one pushed aside, discriminated against, he simply wants to see, and we could say he wants to see the other. With that, the word rabbi in the Greek, it's a bit different here. It is rabbioni. It only occurs twice here, once in John, and then here. It is similar in meaning with rabbi, but and can be translated as Lord or Master, but more than that, it means to claim as one's own. From the scholar David Garland, he writes here, and we can again think of James and John, exactly the same question, they were asked exactly the same question as the blind man, as the other in this passage. David Garland, he writes, the disciples see Jesus as a Messiah who will bring them glory. Bartimaeus sees Jesus as the Son of David, who brings him healing and sight. And the irony here is that the blind man, we could say the other, the one who is different, the one who has been classified and categorized and dehumanized, the one who has been pushed aside to the margins, he is the one who truly sees. And then we read immediately, meaning at the same time, without delay, it says he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way, hodos. And what began as a story of the other, a story of one who is thrown to the margins, oppressed on the outside, has really transformed into the story of the other, not only seeing in a literal sense, receiving physical sight, but as one who sees now the other. He received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. He is no longer sitting by. He is no longer in the margins. He is no longer an outcast, tossed to the side along the way, but he is now one who sees the other on the way. Again, from Garland, this story reveals that Jesus expresses mercy for the despised outcast. He hears the cries of the oppressed. So what about us? What about you and me? Do we hear the cry? Do we see the other? Do we hear the cry? Do we see the oppressed, the outcast, those in the margins? Do we hear the cry of the hungry, the dirty, the tired, the invisible, the pushed aside? Do we see the vulnerable, the poor, the destitute, the weak, the helpless? Do we hear the cry of the disadvantaged and the discriminated against? Do we see the worried, the troubled, the burdened, the browbeaten? Do we hear the cry of the other? Do we see the other? And maybe more than that, at least with that, but maybe more than that, the text says that Jesus stopped. He stood still. Right? He was on the way, he heard the cry, and he stood still. Do we stop? Do we stand still? Do we see the other and welcome her? Do we follow Jesus in this way of mercy? And again, we can think to help one afflicted, right? To provide for the one seeking aid. Do we follow Jesus in that way of mercy? Do we help the one who is afflicted? Do we provide for the one who is seeking aid? Do we care for the one who is in need? We could ask it like this. Who needs you today to hear their cry? Who needs you this week to stand still? Who is the other that needs you to notice and to welcome? And then maybe just to close, what act of mercy will you provide for the one who is in need? Have mercy on me, the one cried out. And Jesus, he stopped, he stood still, and immediately the other received his sight. Let's pray. God, in the midst of what is this time of great difficulty, may we be a people who hear the cry of the other. May we be a people who stop, who stand still, and may we be a people who follow you in the way of mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.